You're listening to a podcast from Newstalk ZB. Follow this and our wide range of podcasts now on iHeartRadio. Newstalk ZB.
Hello, my beautiful beanies. Welcome to The Bean. For Thursday, first of yesterday's news, I am Glenn Hart and we are looking back at Wednesday. Prime Minister's partners. Outgoing, incoming. Kate wants a word about them. Wayne Brown wants a word about the community boards, these sort of seemingly unnecessary councils that we still seem to have. Why can't they do surgery at the weekend? I'm still confused about this. And stag party talk at the end of the pod. But at the beginning, we farewell Andrew Little. He's had enough, he's off.
Now, if you see him in the same way that I do, which is as an operator and a professional operator rather than someone who's driven by emotion, it'll explain a lot about him, because I think that's why he stood down so seamlessly to help Jacinda become the leader, because he realised that was the best thing for Labour. Took the emotion out of it, just thought of it professionally. It was why he was one of Labour's most able ministers. Head down, bum up, got the job done, didn't seem to get drawn into the same game playing in the beehive that a lot of other people do. He gave reasonably frank answers to the media, and apparently that got him offside with Jacinda's helpers, and he was competent. He didn't really stuff things up that much, did he? I mean, you might not always agree with what he did, and you might not think that the health reforms that he ushered in were the best idea, but they were actually not his idea. He just made them happen. Finally, he was one of the few MPs in Labour who actually represented the thing that the party was set up for, which is Labour, the working man. He actually cared about the working man. He was formerly a union boss, and he was the guy who looked after the Pike River families, which is the families of working men who died on the job. Now, I didn't always agree with Andrew Little, but I always respected him and liked him, and I'm sorry to see him go.
There you go. At the end of the day, that's all you can ask for, isn't it? That when you go, people are sorry to see you go. As opposed to somebody like me, for example, where people must be thinking, why doesn't he go? What's he doing here anyway?
Newstalk ZB.
So, of course, we had the revelation on Saturday night. It was a revelation to most people, I think, that Chris Hipkins is seeing somebody called Tony. Came quite the talking point. So what's it like being the partner of a politician, especially a higher profile one? You know, one who's like trying to run the country.
Shallow obsession of this country number two. Amanda Luxon's arms. Now, given the interest in her unbelievably toned and spectacular biceps, Luxon was actually asked to explain it. Of course he was, to which he told media, she's always had biceps, just no one's ever noticed them before. Imagine the day after you win an election, one of the things you have to explain is your wife's biceps. But here we are. Maybe we're all just desperate for some light relief. Maybe we all just genuinely want the inside scoop on how to have arms like she does. He said she's fit, runs every day, she's a go-getter. We also heard she's a former ballet dancer, and the ballet dancers tell me once a ballet figure, always a ballet figure, so that's a good advertisement for ballet. But Luxon said she helped him with his exercise and diet regime during the campaign, which was apparent actually, given he did lose weight and seemed to gain energy throughout. You know what they say, behind every great man, I feel like we all need an Amanda Luxon at home telling us what to eat and how to exercise. Maybe she could share arm workouts as well. So aside from a new government, we got new goss, didn't we? Chippy's new partner and Luxon's super fit one. Hopefully for both of them, that's it. We've had our moment of fascination and they can go back to being behind the scenes, which is, you know, obviously where they prefer to be. But I don't know, if I was Amanda Luxon, I'd be thinking about putting out an arm workout video. Maybe a range of athletic wear or something. I mean, you know, I'm joking. But we all need some light relief. The campaign was too long. The election night was too long. And now coalition negotiations could be long too. Is it any wonder small distractions, albeit, yes, shallow ones, is it any wonder they're grabbing us right now?
Yeah, it is. Because why don't most people take the same attitude I do? The election's finished. Stop worrying about it. Don't worry about it again for another 3 years. Can't we do that? Come on, people, you sure you've got something better to do?
Newstalk ZB.
And of course, if you're not interested in national politics, maybe you're interested in local body politics. And then it turns out there's something even smaller than local body. There's these community boards. And I think Wayne Brown, Mayor of Auckland, has decided they're too little to have anymore.
I served on the Hastings Rural Community Board for about 14 years. Came to be after the Havelock North Borough Council, Hastings City and Hawke's Bay County amalgamated in 1989.
Yeah.
And rural people were concerned that they'd get forgotten.
Mm.
So they formed this board, of which we have councillor for an area, and that councillor has two rural community board members in her area. I was for Mohaka, which was just this side of the Wairoa boundary, reaching up the Taupo Road, and there's another person that was in that councillor's ward who was for Puketitri Pātauka, and then you go over again and there was one person for there and another councillor for out the coast and two people out there. And we are the exact opposite of what Auckland is. We are sparsely populated, but when you're in a rural area like that, everybody knows you, and so to get good feedback, I don't think that it would be too smart for them up there with the numbers they've got to dump them. I know, and, you know, people are talking about, oh, save money. It won't. Mayor Brown will chop off the amount of money that they're going to get because there's less of them. They don't get overpaid, say the least, but you go to their conferences, which they have every 2 years, and, man, it's interesting how some community board members get treated. Mm. They don't get any say. They don't get hardly any money, and often the councillor that's on the board with them treats them like dirt.
Yeah, so let's get rid of them, and then won't be a problem anymore, right?
News Talk ZB.
I found a weird story yesterday, this thing about whether or not hospitals should be doing surgeries in the weekend. I mean, they should be. They can, right?
Under a publicly funded health system, what do you think is a realistic wait time? Is a year reasonable in your mind if you're going to be getting an operation that would cost you tens of thousands of dollars if you had to pay for it privately? Is a year a realistic wait time for, say, a hernia operation or a gallbladder removal or getting your fibroids removed? What do you think is acceptable? You know, I would, in an ideal world, I would love to see a health system where the focus was on not getting into hospital, just as much as we have a focus on our hospitals right now. I would absolutely love to see people given the resources, staff put into educating people about the best possible way to avoid getting many of the diseases and the health complications that see them end up in a hospital needing surgery.
Well, yes, obviously, but I mean, there's still going to be people waiting for stuff, and I just can't get my head around the fact that you've got operating rooms that are, you know, they should be in use 24/7. I'm not saying surgeons and nurses and the anesthesiologists and, I don't know what other kinds of people are in an operating room. Oh, cleaners. Like, yeah, I'm not saying those people should be working 24/7, but, you know, it should just be a shift. And until, you know, there are no more waiting lists. And then maybe you could start taking Sundays off.
News Talk ZBean.
I'm missing something, obviously. I'm missing something. Always missing something. Now, Marcus has got some stag party talk to wrap things up.
Stag do's, that town in Spain's banned stag do's, right, seriously. So, and Tony's reading that story, I'm thinking, really? I'm not thinking Tony's making it up, but I'm thinking, really? I'm not thinking, well, do people go to Spain, but Seville. Does anyone still do stag do's? I wouldn't have been on a stag do ever. No, well, not really. In fact, every time I've been on a stag do, and it's more been like, well, what are we supposed to do? No one's really that into it. Because it all seemed a bit desperate. Staggy! So here's a question. Here's a three-part question. One, are stag do still a thing? Two, what do people now do on stag do's? And three, what town would be the place where people go for stag do's? And yeah, that would ban them. The only thing I really would want to say about this is when I lived on Waiheke and was working on the radio at nights, I'd often get the ferry back, right? But the reason why Waiheke became such a horrible place to be is that, and I don't say this, I mean, this is going to sound a bit sexist, is that there were always hen parties on the ferries coming back from Wānui tours, and they're always full on, they were fully drunk, and but there's never stag do's, so it's always hen parties.
I went to a stag do a couple of months ago, and people laughed at me when I said I was going to a stag do, because I'm 49, and they thought that was too old for people to be having stag do's. And I pointed out that, you know, I can't really control when people decide to get married. And if I know them and they invite me to their stag do. But it was a bit sad. It was just a bunch of old geezers complaining about which bits of their bodies weren't working properly anymore. We didn't go to Seville, is what I'm saying. I'm Glenn. That has been News Talk ZB. Hopefully we're back here at all in one piece tomorrow. See you then.
News Talk ZB. For more from News Talk ZB, listen live, on air or online, and keep our shows with you wherever you go with our podcasts on iHeartRadio.